Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we want to talk about some things that can get between you and the Lord. Because honestly, in our lives, we want such good fellowship with the Lord that there is nothing between us and God, nothing between us and the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, nothing between us and Jesus Christ. And oftentimes there are things that creep in and create a problem for us. And so today what we want to do is look at some things in the Bible that can get between us and the Lord. And by seeing these things, by identifying these things, hopefully the Holy Spirit can speak to us and say, now right there, that right there is getting between us, and we can't let that happen. We really can't let that happen. So let's look in, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, we'll read down to verse 18. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now notice here, the Lord is talking about separation, not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, not having communion of light and darkness, an agreement between the temple of God and idols. You see that? And then he says in verse 17, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Watch it. "And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, we are children of God. When you get saved, I say we are, that is, those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith are now sons of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Okay? So you're already a child of God. But here, when he's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to Christians, to his children, he says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." In other words, what he's saying is, our relationship with him as Father is affected. It is negatively affected by our association with things that are not in Christ. When you, for instance, if you're a saved man and you marry an unsaved woman, you have now put a wedge between you and God. If you are a saved woman and you are dating an unsaved man and you're thinking about marrying this man, you have put a wedge between you and God Almighty. And if you are a man, for instance, and you've got a bunch of friends out there in the world, and those are the guys you like hanging around, you're putting a wedge between, because you're having fellowship, see, with unrighteousness, and you're putting a wedge between you and the Lord. And this sermon is about nothing between. So the first thing that you have to check in your life is you have to check your friends. That's right. Your friends. There are friendships that Christians can have where, listen, the Holy Spirit does not have the liberty to speak through you and to represent who you really are in Christ to that person that you have a friendship with, because that person would be offended and would not appreciate the relationship you have with the Lord God. And so you know what you do? You put the Holy Spirit in your back pocket. You put the Holy Spirit in your purse. You put your relationship with Jesus Christ aside. You go out and you have your fun with your friend, whatever, go drink your margaritas or whatever you do, and pretend for that moment that you and this person or you and these people with whom you're having this association, whatever it may lead to, are alike. That they don't know you're a closet Christian around them. And the Lord says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You know what? You've put a wedge in your relationship between you and the Lord. And it's the friends that you have. That's right. Now, somebody said, "You mean I got to get rid of my friends?" You know what? You know what? Why don't you just stand up with Jesus Christ? Why don't you take the Holy Spirit out of your back pocket or out of your purse and just let Him, why don't you let Him lead in the relationship? In other words, why don't you just be the Christian that you really are and quit hiding it? And then let the friends decide what they'll do. I know what they'll do. Most of them are going to leave you. However, some of them are going to appreciate the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly, God's going to use you to be able to lead them or influence them or preach to them or sow the seed of the Word of God with them until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You cannot continue with some of the friends that you have doing some of the things that you do with your friends and expect your relationship with the Lord God to get better. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to let your friends get between you and God as you have already? I say, just stand with God and let them decide whether they're going to continue to be a friend of yours or not. But quit leaving God out if you want Him to be your best friend of all, if you want Him to be your Father. Here's another one, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Harsh things, I understand, but nevertheless they're true. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus Christ says to His disciples, "If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." You say, "Wait a minute." Yeah, you read it right. "If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." You cannot let your family get between you and God. You see, many of us came from families that are not Christian Bible-believing families. In other words, they may call themselves Christians because they are in a faith that is recognized as Christian, or they're in a church that is recognized as Christian by the world. But I mean, as the Bible defines a Christian, blood-bought, child of God, regenerated by the Spirit of God, born again. A lot of us have family members that aren't born again. They go by the title Christian because of their association with a traditionally known Christian church, but not Christian in the sense that they are a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? You're trying to have a great fellowship with God on the one hand and a great fellowship with your family on the other hand. And you can't reconcile the two because your family doesn't love God the way that you do. And so again, you can allow your family to get between you and the Lord. You know, there are people who are saved, and they love going to church, and they love their church family, but from time to time, they keep getting invitations by their own natural family to go somewhere that takes them out of church on Sunday and takes them away from the fellowship of believers on the days when their believers are getting together to worship the Lord, to praise Him, to study the Bible, to hear preaching, and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're divided. When the family calls, that becomes the preference to you. And so you keep finding yourself pulled away from the Lord because of your family. There are people that have gotten saved. In other words, the couple was married. They were both lost. And they got, one of them got saved. And the other one said, I'll tell you what, if you keep going to a church like that, I'm going to divorce you. And now you know what they have to do? They have to make a choice between God and the family member. I tell people, and this is the way I pray for people that are in a situation like that, I say, you know what? Don't argue, but be faithful. Read your Bible daily. Pray. Go to church. Go to church. Your going to church is not negatively affecting your spouse. Your spouse is feeling the pressure of, I don't want to become what you're becoming in that church. But I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus Christ is going to work in your heart and you are growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are growing in fellowship with God, you know what's going to happen and happens to a lot of spouses? They're going to see such changes in you that you're going to be more desirable to them than you were before. Now, if you've got an unbelieving spouse, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and they are just determined to continue in a life of sin, of course, they're going to pull away. They're going to pull away. And Paul said, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. I know that's a hard thing, but are you going to let that spouse continue to hold you back in your relationship with the Lord? You're scared to go forward in your relationship with God, and you shouldn't be. I am very compassionate about that situation. You can be level-headed. You can be faithful. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be obstinate. You don't have to preach and pound the Bible over their heads. You don't have to do any of that. Just live the life of Christ and let Christ improve your life and improve your relationship with your spouse and improve who you are. And more times than not, your spouse will see that and say, you know what? My husband is a better man, or my wife is a better woman, and they come around. Just be patient. Just be faithful. But do not let a family member get between you and God. You see, the sermon that we have today is called Nothing Between. Don't let friends get between you and God. Don't let family get between you and God. Look another one in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it begins by saying that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, we're certainly there. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then there's a description of, you know, what goes on in the perilous times. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Don't let friends get between you and God. Don't let family get between you and God. Don't let fun get between you and God. When you consider all the opportunities for pleasure in this world today, it is any wonder that anybody that's saved that has anything to do with the world continues in his fellowship with the Lord God. Because, I mean, this world is just loaded with fun things to do. But you know, Moses lived in Egypt, and he was very, very privileged to be Pharaoh's son, or the son of Pharaoh's daughter, really is the way that the Bible puts it. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I know a lot of Christians today, who are not faithful in their relationship with the Lord. They're not faithful in prayer. They're not faithful in Bible reading. They're not faithful in church. And you know why? Because they're constantly seeking pleasure. They are lovers of pleasures. That's right. And their pleasures, their boats, their weekend getaways, their fishing, their hunting, all those kind of things, their hobbies, all that kind of stuff that they really like, those things have gotten between them and God. You won't find them in the church pew, but you'll find them out on the beach. You won't find them in the church pew, but you'll find them up on the ski slope. They play, and they love their pleasures, and they've accumulated many possessions to be able to thoroughly enjoy their pleasures. Now, there is, like I said, there's nothing wrong in and of themselves to be able to have some things to provide you with some needed recreation when that time comes. But when those pleasures get between you and God, you're in trouble. Oh, there are people that tell you, yeah, well, I don't go to church during the deer season. My church is in the deer blind, and I'll guarantee you I can really worship God in the deer blind. Get out of town, dude. That's not God. You don't read, I tell you what, you go from Genesis and you go all the way to Revelation and you tell me the verse of Scripture that says to worship God in the deer blind on Sunday. All right? That's just nonsense. You know what that is? That's a man justifying his pleasures because he truly loves his pleasures more than he loves his God. You say, how do you know that? You just check out his arsenal. You check out the guns that he uses, the deer heads that he's got on the wall, and then you go check out his Bible. The pages in his Bible are still stuck together. Ask him to turn to a place, for instance, in Habakkuk. He won't know whether to go to the New Testament or the Old Testament. What's the problem? He's messing around with his pleasures, and that's put a wedge between him and God. You got to be real careful about that. Don't let anything get between you and the Lord. Now, I tell you what, friends are valuable. They're wonderful to have. But when they draw you away from God, there's the end. You need to take a stronger stand from God and let them decide whether they want to enjoy their friendship with you sitting in the pew next to you at your church. Don't let your family get between you and God. When God's drawing you closer to Him, you don't have to be an ogre. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be judgmental. But you need to be faithful. And don't let your fun get between you and God. And don't figure out all the clever ways to justify your fun. Yeah, we have prayer meeting up there in the deer blind with coffee while we're waiting on the buck to come out. Be real. Be real. All right? You say, well, I don't like my church. Oh, well, then that's, you know what you need to do? You need to get with God and let Him lead you to a place where you can get fed and you can grow. All right, here's another one. Don't let your finances get between you and God. That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see that? They coveted after that money and they erred from the faith. And there are a lot of people today that are Christians that God has blessed and they have a lot of wealth. But you know what's happened to them? That wealth has gotten between them and the Lord. They spend more time balancing checkbooks and keeping up with the assets and spending the money and making the deals than they ever do on their knees with the Lord. And those things need to be in balance. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, the Bible says. And if your treasure is in your bank account, then your treasure is not in heaven. That rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And he wouldn't do it. And the Lord said, it's very hard for men that trust in their riches to enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God when he trusts his riches. That's right. You know why? Because his finances get between him and God. His finances obscure his faith. And there are lots of people today that are saved, and like I said, God has really blessed them with great business acumen and a great deal of wealth. And the wealth got them. They erred from the faith. They're constantly making deals and never talking to anybody else about Jesus Christ. That's not right. Now, there are some people who do have a great deal of wealth, and I'll tell you what, they are very faithful. They're in church regularly. They're in their Bible. They're on their knees, and they are not ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ and tell anybody they know about Him. They've got a good balance, and the finances didn't draw them away from Christ. They didn't get between them and the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you need to listen. I'm not the one to judge. I'm not going to tell you whether it's your friends or your family or your fun or your finances that are doing this to you. As you hear this message, the Holy Spirit of God is pricking your conscience in the very area where there is something between you and God He wants you to know about so you can deal with it and move it out of the way. I'll tell you something else. Don't let your fantasies get between you and the Lord. And I'm not talking about just necessarily wicked fantasies. I'm not talking about evil thoughts necessarily. Just anything that comes up, daydreaming, any kind of imagination that comes up in your head when you're trying to have fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you ever get on your knees to pray and what comes up in your mind is your agenda, your schedule, something that your wife told you you need to get, do a honey-do list? You ever get on your knees to pray before God and your weekend plans come up and you're like, boy, I got to call Joe and make sure that he's going to be ready at 5:00 in the morning. You know, oh, I got to call and make a reservation for my tea time. That ever happened to you? Of course it does. It happens to all of us. You know what those are? Those are thoughts that come up at a time when you're really supposed to be having fellowship with the Lord God. And I call them fantasies. You know, a lot of times people use the word fantasy to mean something evil. It's a fantasy in that it's a thought that comes up. It's an imagination that comes up. If it's a conversation, if you're trying to reconcile some problem with one of your kids or somebody that you're having some confrontation and difficulty with, you're carrying on a conversation with somebody that's not even in the room. In other words, you can be having fellowship with God, you can be having prayer with God, and what you're doing is sorting out a confrontational conversation that you're going to get ready to have with somebody, and you're scared to do it. And that's a fantasy. It's an imagination. It's a thought that comes up, and what happens is that imagination or that thought has now exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and it has taken priority over the relationship that you have with God. It has gotten between you and God. And you can't let that happen. You say, well, how do I fight it off? Man, you just got to put that thing before the Lord. You've got to pray about it. You've got to read your Bible before so that your mind is concentrating on God. You have to change perhaps where you pray or how you pray so that you're not finding yourself distracted. You know, you can't pray in front of the television. You'll be distracted by what comes up on the deal. You can't pray and have your email account open or pray and have the radio going. You're going to be distracted by what you hear. I'll be honest with you. I do what I call my best praying, or where I can concentrate. That's what I mean to say, where I can really concentrate in one of two ways. One would be just out walking. I'm the kind of person, perhaps like you are, that if I drop to my knees in the privacy of my home, it's really hard not to start thinking about other things. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And boy, it sure shows up. So I get out and walk, and it really helps me to concentrate singly on the fellowship with God. And it seems like it should be okay. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Adam walked with God. Seemed like a good thing, you know. Now listen. The other place is when I'm with our staff and we are in the offices and we are praying. We're really concentrating on the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to deal with that. You have to find your own life, how I can do this and not let these thoughts keep coming up between me and God. One more, and I'll just give it to you quickly. Don't let your friends get between you and God, your family, your fun, your finances, your fantasies, or this, your fears. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are a lot of people who are so afraid of something, a child, a spouse, a job, a health concern, finances, they're just so afraid that the fear has gripped them and consumed them. When that happens, you know what? You can't have fellowship with God. I mean, you can try, but the fear is so predominant that your blood pressure changes, your thoughts change, you're anxious. If you are praying, you're not really praying. You're just pouring out your anxious heart and worries before God. And what's happened is that fear has gotten between you and God. It has so consumed you that it's made God very little and it's made the problem very big. There are people that are afraid about what they're going to hear from their doctor. There are people that are afraid about what's going to happen to the economy. There are people that are afraid what's going to happen to the country. There are people who are afraid of terrorism. There are people who are afraid every time they get in a vehicle and travel anywhere that something bad's going to happen. There are people that are afraid about what's going to happen to their kids. There are people that are afraid about what's going to happen to their marriage. I mean, fear is just gripping and consuming everybody everywhere. And listen, when you are consumed by fear, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you're overwhelmed and racked by that fear gets between you and God and makes your problem really big and makes God really small. Peter was afraid when he got out there and walked on the water, and he fell in. Jesus Christ is God over all of that wind and over all of that sea. And Peter knew that. And yet, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and got to seeing the boisterous wind, he got scared. And when he got scared, he fell in. Why? Because it made Jesus Christ very small, and it made the storm very big. That's what happens. So in this lesson, if you will, in this sermon today for you, we've just tried to identify, you know, six areas in your life where your fellowship with God could improve by eliminating or dealing with any one of these six things. Don't let friends get between you and God. If you've got an engagement with a friend right now, they have nothing to do with God, and they're going to have some expectations about you partying with them, and you know God's not pleased with that, call them back and say, I can't be there. And when they say, why, I say, I want to improve my fellowship with God. Family. I know we feel that obligation, but God is your father now. That's right. And so do what he wants you to do. Obey your father. Okay? Fun. You got too many pleasures going on in your life, and you don't have time with all those distractions to be able to enjoy fellowship with God. You know what you need to do? Cut out one of those activities. And you may find later, then you can cut out another one. You don't have to go cold turkey. But just start limiting that pleasure so that you can have fellowship with God. Finances. You and you only know whether or not finances are limiting the faith of God and that you are beginning to err from the faith. I'll tell you what, if you're trusting those finances and you haven't thought about trusting God, they've gotten between you and the Lord. Also, your fantasies, the thoughts that come up in your mind, you got to get those under control, and your fears. Do not let the things that scare you any longer, because God didn't give you that spirit of fear. Trust Him completely, and let the fear go away. And you're going to find that you have a tremendously better relationship with the Lord God after you deal with those fears and just put them behind you. You do it by trusting God. I really pray that this lesson has been a help to you today. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.